This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Mike Kinnairy. Later this hour, we're listening back to a conversation we had last year with a University of Florida researcher about wild bees and where they get their food when flowers are not blooming. But first, Florida's unemployment rate is currently around a low 3.7%. That's a drop of more than 7% since the end of 2010 at the peak of the economic downturn. But how well is Southwest Florida's workforce positioned moving forward? On today's show, we're going to dig into the 6th annual Southwest Florida Workforce Study. It's conducted annually by Workforce Now. That's a research initiative that studies Southwest Florida's workforce. It's comprised of researchers from Florida Gulf Coast University, Hodges University, and Florida Southwestern State College. The study provides an overview of key information about local industries, occupations, employment gaps, and projected job growth. It looks at things like which Southwest Florida occupations have the largest gaps between the number of workers demanded by employers and the available supply in the labor market. We're joined today by two of the researchers behind the study. Dr. Christopher Westley is professor of economics and director of the Regional Economic Research Institute at Florida Gulf Coast University. Dr. Westley, welcome back to Gulf Coast Live.
Hi, Mike. Thanks.
And Dr. Ashigal Timour is dean of the Johnson School of Business at Hodges University. Dr. Timour, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
And as always, we invite you to join our conversation. How is the local economy working for you? Maybe you've recently graduated or recently returned to work after not being able to find a job for a while. To join the show, call us now. The number's 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Or you can find us on Facebook. We're at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU. Just use the hashtag GCL. So let's start with the how this study was conducted. What is Workforce Now? Who would like to give us an overview?
Well, if I went into too much detail, I'd probably cause a riot, so I won't go into that much detail. But this is our sixth study. We've been studying the regional economy with these reports since 2013.
13, correct.
And essentially what we do is we collect data by occupation and try to determine the demand for different occupations by firms and the available supply. And then we measure the gap. And so the bigger the gap, the bigger the demand for workers in those industries and the bigger the demand for the skills of workers in those industries. And we've been ranking them every year since then.
Who are the participating partners? Who are all the moving parts to this Workforce Now organization?
Well,
entity, whatever, whichever it is.
It has its roots in the news press publisher. The previous news press publisher helped put it all together. This happened before I got back to Southwest Florida. But you may remember Mimi Chan.
Mm-hmm.
And it was her idea to put it together and to try to have a research organization that spanned throughout the region. So Florida Southwest has a presence in Charlotte all the way down to Collier. Hodges is, of course, throughout the area. And FGCU has a scope, I mean, throughout the five counties of Southwest Florida. And the idea here was to bring together some economists who could study the regional workforce and to try to help really people who are in charge of those scarce educational resources to help them determine where those resources would have the biggest bang for the buck.
It was about the alignment between the jobs and critical gaps in the region and how the educational institutions or other parts are responding to the needs in the area. So it was all about the alignment between education and the opportunities.
Whether they're training students for the right kinds of jobs, basically.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. And what kind of skills, what kind of knowledge, what kind of outcomes we should be adding into our curriculum. Or what are the new degrees or what are the new programs we should be considering and what's the demand about those occupations and areas. So that's how the Workforce Now initiative came about.
Are cross-institution collaborations like this very common with three different major organizations or institutions here in town working on something together?
I don't think it's that unusual. And it's been going fine. We usually cross-research with people at many different schools as a normal course of our jobs anyway.
Okay. So how is the data collected? What are the data sources for this? How do you get this sort of – seems pretty granular information if you're talking about particular numbers of jobs and gaps and things like that.
Well, we get a lot of raw data from the state, and then we have to crunch it a little bit, reorganize it, pull out what we think is important for our region, and then put it in a form which is presentable and understandable to employers, educators in the region. A lot of the major employers in Southwest Florida were instrumental in getting Workforce Now started in the first place.
A lot of spreadsheets then?
A lot of spreadsheets.
It's really sexy, let me tell you.
But also in the past, if you're familiar with the Workforce Now reports, we did primary research. We interviewed employers. We look at the job descriptions available in those organizations that have critical gaps. So we did those type of publications also, not only limited to the data that we used, spreadsheets, but also some qualitative information
gotcha.
That directly
so
we
received
from
employers. So it's more than just crunching
employers.
Numbers. It's talking to humans.
Exactly. Collaborating quantitative and qualitative information together.
Gotcha. Okay. And before we move on to the actual study, I would just want to ask real quick, where does the Future Makers Coalition fit into this? I've been hearing that name lately, and I don't know exactly. Can you characterize it?
Well, first of all, I have to say that I'm a future maker.
Okay.
And Chris is a future maker too. So after News Press and Market Watch events, we kind of evaluated, and at the same time, we had the formation of the Future Makers Coalition, which is the collaboration among so many organizations looking at our region and transforming our workforce to have more credentials. So we thought that Workforce Now initiative is a great fit under that umbrella. And the backbone agency is the Southwest Florida Community Foundation. And so we can feed the initiative with solid information to make really good actions and make sure that we are moving toward the goal with specific data. So that's how Workforce Now is a kind of feeder in terms of information for all future makers and all Future Makers Coalition initiatives.
Gotcha. Well, then let's start with the workforce study, the sixth annual. What were the biggest surprises? I know I have one thing that surprised me, but what are the biggest surprises from y'all's perspective?
There were no surprises to me, really. I mean,
the nursing thing surprised
well,
me.
Well, that goes to show you we have a really dynamic economy down here. And just because one particular industry has a big gap in the past, that doesn't mean it's going to persist. And what I read into that is that, you know, there's a scarcity of nurses a few years ago, hence the gap. And so wages increased, or at least they stayed high relative to other parts of the state. And that served as a signal then to people who wanted to work as nurses over time, and also as a signal to the providers of that type of training in the region too, to develop push resources towards that occupation. And so over like 3 or 4 years, that gap did go away.
So basically there is no current employment gap,
yes,
in the nursing sector in Southwest Florida.
Currently. And it's a very dynamic – I mean, it's a large employer in the region.
Yeah.
And they're always hiring, it seems, and they're very active. But the big employers are very aggressive in trying to fill those positions.
Because it's a dynamic market, next year, don't be surprised if you see registered nurses coming into the list again with a specific critical gap. So it might happen.
And what would be a driver for that?
What do you think?
Is it growth or is it lack of workforce?
It's growth primarily. The workforce, I think, grows at a fairly steady state. But the growth of the region creates an increased demand for that occupation.
And we have an aging population, so that's going to grow, and that's going to mean more nurses, and then the economy will have to catch up to it. And that's kind of how it works.
And let's remember that healthcare occupations are among the most growing, fastest growing occupations in our region. Healthcare industry is one of the largest industries in this region.
Okay, so let's look at the numbers, the 2016 numbers. Where are the biggest wage or employment gaps then these days?
So when we look at the top occupational gaps, employment gaps, we see in the top 10 first-line supervisors of retail sales, retail salespersons, maintenance and repair workers, first-line supervisors of food preparation and service, landscaping, another first-line supervisors
what
of construction.
What does first-line mean, just so we clarify?
Entry-level.
Okay. First-line means entry-level. It doesn't mean supervisor. It means entry-level. Okay. I just wanted to make sure because I wasn't necessarily clear on that term.
Entry-level managerial skills,
right.
But managing
first,
a team.
Entry-level supervisor.
Correct.
So, gotcha.
Correct.
Okay.
So it doesn't require bachelor's degrees or it doesn't require higher education degrees, but it requires specific skill set to work with others and manage a team, set goals and manage projects, things like that.
Gotcha. So, go ahead. Continue.
Well, I would just add to that that these many of these occupations are not occupations that require a lot of training. Many of them are entry level, and the wages reflect that. And that reflects just the general economy of our that we see down here. We're not a very diversified economy. The largest employers, but just by the numbers of workers, usually are. That reflects the strengths of our region are the very ones that tend to be characterized by these types of positions.
And so when we look at the top 10 employment gaps, mm-hmm. the median wage ranges from $11 per hour to $27 per hour.
And so the $11 would be like maybe the retail, and then the $27 would be like the supervisor or something like that?
Correct.
Gotcha.
Correct.
How is or how are wages doing? I know, unemployment has gone down over the past few years. We're at pretty historically low numbers. How are wages doing compared to unemployment? Because what I've heard, I'm not an economist, but what I've heard anecdotally is that the one's not necessarily keeping up with the other. Is that accurate here in Southwest Florida?
That is a problem in Southwest Florida because, again, the industries that dominate are the ones that are largely characterized by lower wage positions, and that reflects our lack of diversification in the region, which I think is going to go away as we grow over the next decade or two. And but for now, that those are the primary drivers of our economy, and that becomes an issue in terms of attracting workers, allowing workers to earn a wage that allow them to live in the region. And things like that. I mean, Southwest Florida's average wage, by the way, is quite a bit less than the state's average wage. And the state's average wage is quite a bit less than the national one.
How does Southwest Florida rank in terms of the rest of the state when it comes to the breadth of its workforce? Are we about the same as the rest of Florida, or are there other regions in Florida that have more manufacturing or something else besides the tourist-driven economy?
I believe that what wages reflect is the industries that we have, the occupations that we have. So when we look at top five industries in Southwest Florida, we are looking at construction, we are looking at healthcare, and we are looking at retail sales, and we are looking at accommodations and food services. So majority of the jobs that we are looking at, they are service-based and many of them, very limited, has requirement for higher education degrees. And very small segment, large segment is all about vocational education or adult vocational or high school. So that reflects.
How does that work then with local universities and colleges trying to align their students for jobs and hoping they'll stay locally if most of the jobs we have locally don't require college educations? Is that the million-dollar question?
Well, that's the problem that we see because how do you allocate these scarce resources in such a way that benefit the economy? As someone who moved to Florida, to Naples when I was in high school, I've seen a big change down here with respect to FGCU being in the area. A lot of people who would normally go away and get a degree somewhere else and then get a job in some other part of the state, those people have stayed here largely because of the training they got at FGCU. And that would not have happened otherwise. But the concern is that, yeah, a lot of times we'll give some worker good training, and then the workers will then end up taking that training and getting a higher paid job somewhere else. Mm. And you can't really stop that completely from happening. There are FGCU graduates working all over the country. There are University of Florida, Florida State graduates working all over the country too. They don't necessarily stay within the state or within the region, but a lot of them do stay in the region too. And it comes down to how do you allocate that scarce educational resource? And are you giving students the skills they need to get a position that they couldn't get otherwise had they never gone off to college?
Right. And Hodges University also very uniquely positioned in the region that we are adult learners institution. Mm-hmm. The adults who are in career changes and they want to move to more advanced positions, they choose Hodges University to be ready to the next level. So recently we launched our Pathways to Success campaign. So every degree program that we have at Hodges University tied to the workforce needs and jobs in the region.
You know, I grew up here. I went to elementary, high school, the whole thing. And I have a lot of friends who could have gone elsewhere who stayed here, and I think it's because of the it's a beautiful place to live. There's a nice culture. How big does that factor in? Because it's not just the jobs. I mean, I have plenty of friends who could have gone to any city and gotten a nice job, but they live here now and they've lived here all their lives, and it somehow strengthens the community. What's the magic sauce in that?
Well, there's trade-offs people make. I mean, a lot of people would make a trade-off to stay local and be near family, and that's perfectly fine too. Maybe they could have made more money or had a different type of career had they moved somewhere else, but that's a legitimate trade-off.
Right. Mm. Quality of life in Southwest Florida.
Yeah, well, it's just convincing. Well, it's all a matter of what comprises quality of life, I guess. If you're just joining the show, we're discussing the latest results from the annual Southwest Florida Workforce Study. I'm joined by two of the researchers behind the study, Dr. Ashkul Timor from Hodges University and Dr. Christopher Wesley from Florida Gulf Coast University. How is the Southwest Florida economy treating you and your family these days? To join our conversation with a comment or question, give us a call. The number is 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU. Just use the hashtag GCL. We recently ran a report out of Tallahassee about how the gubernatorial candidates from both parties, they've debuted their education platforms to Florida voters. And while Republican Ron DeSantis and Democrat Andrew Gillum both are ideologically opposed on a lot of fronts, like school choice and how to fund teacher pay increases.
And everything else.
Yeah. But one educational issue that's interestingly getting bipartisan support from them is workforce training. We're going to hear that report now from reporter Ryan Daly out of Tallahassee. It's just a couple minutes long, and then we'll talk about it afterwards.
DeSantis and Gillum continue to be polar opposites at nearly every turn, but there is one thing they both seem to really like the sound of. Here's what DeSantis had to say during a Republican primary debate in Miami.
Four-year Brick and Ivy University is one way that people can get advanced knowledge and skills, but it's certainly not the only way. And if you look, we have a large number of students across the country, including in Florida, who end up with a four-year degree and then end up in a job they could have had at a high school. So I want to focus on concrete skills, skilled trades, but also science and technology and computers, because I think they'll be able to get skills and be immediately employable without having to go deep in debt.
And Gillum, at an Orlando rally with his new lieutenant governor pick Chris King weeks ago, struck a similar tone.
We're also going to reinfuse back into our public education system of this state the kind of thing that used to exist. Because while college worked for me, for my older brothers, it was woodwork, shop, mechanical, electrical, technical, all of those kinds of programs. All of those kinds of programs that if you were not on a college-bound track, and it's okay not to be on a college-bound track. It's okay.
So what is it about vocational schools that's made them an increasingly prioritized part of Florida's education conversation? Shelley Bell heads Leon County Schools' Lively Technical Center. She also oversees career technical and adult education for the district and says the vocational focus is both a paradigm shift and something of a rebranding.
The vocational education of 25 years ago is kind of pushed aside, and we have ushered in this, you know, broader term with career and technical education that really encompasses so much more.
Career training and education. The updated term, according to Bell, is indicative of how the different course and certificate offerings have expanded.
We're not just looking at, you know, people that can use their hands in automotive and diesel techs and building trades, but you also look at everything from digital design to network analysts to a lot of the jobs in computers and technology.
Bell has taken note of the bipartisan push for more career and technical education.
The idea now is being pushed by both candidates for governor that what we need to focus on is a skilled workforce. And so when you say skilled, it goes, well, what does a skilled workforce look like? It is students coming out of the K-12 system and going into post-secondary education and really capitalizing on completing programs where they are learning a skill that is marketable that they can get a job in.
And Bell says expanding career programs, like Gillum and DeSantis want, means giving them an increased role in K-12 schools.
If they don't know what those jobs look like in their backyard, and if we're not helping to expose those down in the K-12 system and create that pipeline, we're going to continue to struggle.
Though the two candidates likely won't be arguing on vocational programs, DeSantis and Gillum have agreed to several upcoming debates. For WFSU News, I'm Ryan Daly.
So how are we doing in Southwest Florida when it comes to vocational training, whether it be through a college or university or through the other resources that are out there?
Well, I'd just say first, and I'll defer to Ishigal in a second, but there's a lot of work going on in the region to try to anticipate and meet that demand. Some of it's coming from FGCU, Hodges, FSW. Kaiser and Rasmussen played a very important role in this as well in meeting the demand. And those schools in particular, Hodges too, they have skin in the game more so than a public institution does, because if they make a mistake, it really hurts them in the pocketbook. So they're more careful, I think, about how these resources are allocated.
And we have several technical colleges in the region who are really addressing these concerns. And one of the initiatives that I would like to mention, it's part of the Future Makers Coalition again, Hodges University is has been developing a curriculum to address one of the specific needs, and that was the foundational skills. So every conversation we had, employers talked about the lack of foundational skills in the region. And so we partnered and with the Future Makers Coalition and employers to develop a curriculum. It's called Professional Effectiveness Certificate.
What would be some of the examples of foundational skills?
So these are from, you know, very basic skills to showing at work timely and answering phones properly and having eye contact, firm handshake.
Okay, so really foundational. You're talking
very,
foundational.
Very foundational right. skills that we're talking about. So this certificate program is competency-based, and really we created all these competencies just talking and communicating with employers. What do you want? What do you want the employers know in terms of closing this gap in foundational skills? So we ran four pilot programs. Artrex is one of the companies that we did a pilot program there. And then we had another pilot at Southwest Florida Career Source, and we had another pilot at Immokalee Foundation, another another pilot at Chico's. So we received a lot of feedback to tweak this curriculum to address the needs in the region. So this is a micro-credential, for example, offered by a university and trying to equip these individuals to be ready for entry-level positions. Mm. So that's one of the initiatives that we have. And right now we are partnering with public schools. We are in the process of partnering with Immokalee Foundation. So there is a great movement in this part, micro-credentialing. And again, like Chris mentioned, Future Makers Coalition is really working hard to transform our region to really have these credentials so people can have these jobs.
You mentioned earlier that you think that there's a chance that at some point in the next decade or so, we might be able to have a less service-driven economy. Can you kind of speculate as to how that might happen?
No, I just mean that as we grow, I mean, right now our economy really reflects our strengths in the region, which are basically based on all the industries that are tied to retirement and tourism. And that it brings companies and industries which are primarily dominated by low-skill, entry-level wages. But as we develop and grow and become more like, I don't know, Tampa or some of the East Coast cities, well, we will become more diverse in our work. And the RARI, the Regional Economic Research Institute, actually has an industry diversification project that we created just to study this issue, because I don't think a lot of people appreciate or understand the effects of a lack of diversity have in explaining our economy.
Hmm. This might be a strange question, but in a place like Silicon Valley where technology is changing so quickly, it's really hard to see where 4 years from now is when you're training a student.
Very
hard.
Who
knows what 4 years is like? Our economy seems like it's fairly fixed. You know what you're aiming for the most part, if you're training somebody in Southwest Florida for what's going to be here 4 years from now. Is that an accurate assessment?
Yeah, but there's still room for error on how we allocate resources. And it still is hit or miss, and there are mistakes that are still made in how
it's not a sure
what
thing.
Programs we offer. But it is important. And we'll come back to the DeSantis-Gillum, if we have enough time.
Sure, yeah.
The vocational program is – part of that I'm wondering about that is because college is now so much more expensive than it was 20 years ago.
Right.
Or for previous generations, the education bubble is – the student loan bubble is in the over the $1 trillion mark.
Right.
And I'm wondering if those trends, and I'm sure they're happening elsewhere in the country too, is a recognition that, you know, in the future we won't have as much access to higher ed financing on at least in terms of from credit markets for students.
Right.
As we have in the past. And so there's a renewed effort to say, well, you know what, these vocational jobs are important to our economy, and a lot of times they pay more than college graduates earn anyway, partly because we're pushing so many kids into college and away from those jobs that more so than we have in the past.
Yeah, it's interesting. We've had this sort of automatic pilot that you go to college, that's what you do, and in some ways that's what's caused the bubble, because so many people have gone where maybe they all didn't necessarily need to get the job that they might want.
Sure, and you
Correct.
And then when you graduate, you have a reservation wage because you have all this debt you amassed in college, and so that causes you to require more money than you otherwise would, and that also affects your work prospects.
And also, the need for diversification in our economy is very much identified by our community leaders and the Chamber of Commerce, the Southwest Florida Economic Development Alliance, and all other economic development agencies in the region working toward to the same goal. We need diversification in our region. So there are a lot of efforts. So we hope to see some of the results coming out maybe next several years.
Arthrex is a game changer in the region. And I always say we will, as we grow, we will get more Arthrex-y jobs.
Arthrexy.
Yeah.
Coined
yeah.
a term.
High skill, high wage jobs.
I'm copywriting the term, so.
Okay. We only have a couple minutes left, but real quick, you know, the economic expansion that we're in is historic. It's one of the longest ever.
Second longest.
you know, nothing lasts forever, economically speaking. How do you guys feel as far as trajectory of our current growth, you know, sector?
Doom and gloom, Mike.
Doom and gloom.
The crystal ball, Chris.
Doom and gloom, you know, years from now. Is it the student loan? Is it rent? I mean, there are these bubbles that are around.
If we make it through next summer with the expansion, it will become the longest expansion on record, at least since we've been measuring this for the last 150 years. And as a region, the analogy I always use is that the national economy is like a dog, and then the tail of the dog is Florida. And so when the dog is happy and the economy is growing, that tail is flapping really quickly. Mm-hmm. And then Southwest Florida is on the tip of that tail. So we're really getting hot. We have a region that tends to overheat during boom periods and then overcorrect during bust periods.
Yeah, we certainly saw that last time around.
Absolutely.
Sure. All right. Well, that is all the time we have for this part of the show. I want to thank my guests. Dr. Christopher Wesley is professor of economics and director of the Regional Economic Research Institute at FGCU. Dr. Wesley, thanks for being here.
No, thank you.
And Dr. Aishkul Timur is dean of the Johnson School of Business at Hodges University. Dr. Timur, thanks to you as well.
Oh, thank you so much.
When we return, we chat with a University of Florida researcher about her work studying wild bees and where they get their nectar when there are no flowers blooming. I'm Mike Canary. You're listening to Gulf Coast Live. Stay with us.